Convene this meeting of the Escanic Commissioners. Please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Commissioners, the June 6, 2023 minutes were circulated by the clerk. Were there any additions, corrections, or substitutions?
No.
Make a motion to accept the minutes as published.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Gives us great honor to welcome up from the Wyoming Supreme Court, Justice Finn, to update us on review of court security that we just had with Justice. So please join us, Your Honor.
Thank you, Commissioners. I am Justice John Finn with the Wyoming Supreme Court, and I'm here in my role as the chair of the State Court Security Commission. We're trying to get around to a number of communities and really raise awareness for court security and help where we can. I don't have any specific agenda or checkbook either for you to bring, but we just spent the last hour and a half or so going through court security with very grateful that the two of the commissioners were present, and I overall would report to you that Johnson County is doing a lot of things right. We're very fortunate to have that facility that you have. I conducted court in this facility, and it was a lot different, and so there's a few minor things, some monitoring and scheduling things that will be almost very little cost, if any, that we would suggest. The bigger recommendation is for you to consider is the manpower issue on behalf of the sheriff. You can't have too much manpower when it comes to security. I'm not advocating that you need somebody stationed at the door during all business hours. I think that there's been a reasonable compromise with that. But I would encourage you to support the sheriff in his manpower needs. I don't know if he's specifically asking for extra manpower, but another person or two would probably really help him out with respect to security issues. But beyond that, I think that Johnson County is doing, of the counties I've visited, you're one of the better counties, particularly with respect to the size of your county versus, in Natrona County, where they do have more manpower and they have a little more security in entering the facilities. I think you're doing a very good job, and it was obvious you're being there present today to support it. So I don't have anything else to say than you know how to get a hold of me. We're here to help. There are some grant money sometimes available. We're out raising business in that area, and so it's going to be maybe more competitive. I don't get too involved in that. It's through the home security, and it's usually a sharing thing, but there is some money available, and the sheriff and Joe can work together and make an application for that if it's appropriate. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to respond to them, and I just want to thank you for having us here, and what a great job that Johnson County is doing, and it's great to be back in this court. Well, I'll always be a courtroom to me. I did a lot of work in this courtroom, so it's great to be home, so to speak. And thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Commissioners, any questions for the justice?
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor. We appreciate it. Appreciate the presence of our magistrate. Judge Jarvis is here as well. So, Judge, thank you for joining us this morning on our tour and your input on court security. Madam Clerk, looks like the first item of our action are some malt beverage permits. Looks like I have a permit for Johnson County Fairgrounds. This will be catered by South Fork Lodge for the pig wrestling on June 23rd, 2023. And it looks like I've got some others that were also stuck in here. Just says a wedding at the Kearney Hall. This is to be catered by the Lake Stop, July 1st, 2023. Am I understanding that there are just two malt beverage permits before us
today? Yes, okay. Yes, sure. Just two. All fees have been paid on both.
All fees have been paid. Very good. Commissioners, what's your pleasure?
Move to accept.
Second.
There is a motion and a second to approve the two malt beverage permits. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Ms. Telkamp, I believe you have a lease for the airport.
I do. We have new leases for the T-hangers out at the airport, which go into effect July 1st. Two of them have been returned with the necessary insurance documents, so I'm asking for approval on those two leases. I have sent reminders to the other people, either to get their lease into me by the end of the month or to provide insurance information. I spoke to Gerald Pink with the airport board yesterday, and he stated that he would prefer that we not approve the leases until all paperwork is in. So you just have two before you this morning.
All right. And Ms. Tuckham, it looks like it's Mike Bacon and Dennis Fox. Is that correct?
That is correct.
All right. Commissioners, you do have copies of this. Mr. Craigle, this is the updated lease that you worked on. Is that correct?
It is. Yes, sir. It
has the annual escalation clause?
It does.
Commissioners, what's your pleasure on renewing new leases for the T-hangers of Mike Bacon and Dennis Boggs at the airport?
Move to approve them.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the T-hanger leases, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Up. It does look like we have a couple of board appointments, I believe. The first is created by resignation from a current board member. Is this correct, Jody?
The museum has two board openings that expire July 1st. Yes, Sharon Miller did resign, but Lynn Young would like to be reappointed. And then we have two other applicants.
It looks like for the two terms commencing July 1, we have a letter of interest from Lynn Young, a letter of interest from Cynthia Pallister, and a letter of interest from Karen D. Harvey. Commissioner Perry, you're the liaison to this board. What are your thoughts?
The museum... We have a representative from the museum board.
Yes, we do.
Is there anybody that you guys are promoting or?
Well, I would probably like to see Mr. Young reappointed to the board. He brings a lot of history and information. As far as the new appointment, this board member has no opinion on that.
And that would be.
Sir, would you mind stating your name?
Craig Cope.
Pardon me?
Cope, Craig Cope.
Thank you.
So, well, the Museum Board of Governors, Madam Clerk.
I would move to reappoint Lynn Young.
There is a motion. Is there a second? Motion and a second. Any discussion on that appointment? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
I think Cynthia would be a really good fit in there myself.
I would concur, Commissioner Shelley. I think she would be a good addition to that board. Is that a motion?
I'll make a motion to move that Cynthia Pallister be appointed to the museum board.
Second. I have a motion and a second to appoint Cynthia Pallister to the museum board. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. All right, Jody, looks like the next board is this a vacancy or an unexpired term on the tourism board?
It's an unexpired term on the tourism for Cole.
Cole Burnham?
Burnham, thank you.
All right, and these positions typically require a nexus in the travel and tourism industry. So you feel that as a marketing individual for the radio station, that meets the threshold?
I questioned that. And I guess that maybe it probably, kind of roundabout way, does meet the threshold, but the letter of the letter of the law, so to speak, the person needs to be directly involved in a commercial business or tourism in some manner. But that being said, I don't have a problem with that person being put on the board. They have an interest in it, and that's pretty key to them.
You know, they're talking to all the other businesses when she's out and about, so I think it's a good fit. Okay. Myself.
Yeah. I'll make a motion to appoint.
Taylor Lawson.
Yeah, Taylor.
No, second.
I have a motion and a second to appoint Taylor Lawson to the Johnson County Tourism Association. Any discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Madam Clerk, did you have additional business that you needed us to transact today?
I do not have any additional business today.
Ms. Delkamp, any additional business today?
No, I do not.
Mr. Craigo?
No, sir.
Okay. That would then bring us to a time of public comment, and I know that Mr. Jerry Spearing wants to discuss affordable housing, so we'll invite him up and then take public comment as they'd like to after that.
Thank you.
I'd like to say I appreciate you taking this upon yourself.
Thank you. I started this work as part of my efforts with the comprehensive plan for Buffalo, and then saw the need for affordable housing and took it on myself. I'm not connected with this effort is not connected with planning and zoning. It's on my own. But I've interviewed 50 people probably in the community and around the state, talked to lots of different organizations. And so this plan that's in your books is really just a framework. I'm not proposing building an apartment building or duplexes, nothing. I'm trying to provide a framework so that, and it's primarily for Buffalo, but county needs it also. KC, I have ran into people trying to rent, trying to buy RVs because they have no place to rent in KC. So this framework can cover all of that. But primarily what I'm doing is advocating a creation of a board or a commission or something that runs this effort. It reports to both the county commissioners and the city council, and it handles the money and the application process and manages the asset. Now, what can that be? Well, the board probably is more temporary and oversees trying to get all this in place, but the agency that does that is probably Buffalo Housing Authority. The existing Buffalo Housing Authority just manages the apartments by the senior center, and they said they really don't want anything to do with it. Talked with Dennis Curran, and he's said that is the best vehicle we've got. And because I asked him about creating land trusts and foundations and everything, and he proposes or proponent of using the Housing Board Authority. If we do that, which is great, I don't care how it happens. I'm not legal-minded. I don't know any of that. But we're going to need to rework their mission a little bit to include the county and to include these other properties. But the idea is this agency, and we'll call it the Buffalo Housing Authority, will handle the monies and the property decisions. What are we willing, or what do we want? What do you guys want? What does the council want? What does the public want for properties? Duplexes, apartments, I don't care. The housing authority would work with developers. And, for example, there are developers out there already. There's one that would love to meet with city officials and county officials to just assess the favorability of development. They're not, no commitments, no nothing. They just want to meet. And they've done this all over the state of Wyoming. There's 10 cities that have 24 and 30 unit apartment structures built by this company using WCDA monies over the last 10 years. There's one being done in Powell, 24 units, one being completed right now in both of them this year in, or construction started, excuse me, in Gillette, 34 or 36 units. And they're willing to do that. They do all the grant work. They do everything. But they need, costs have gotten so out of hand, they need some kind of participation. And so how does the city and county do that? Well, you don't have excess money unless you're lying to us. So but you have services and you have land. And this agency, that the housing authority, can act as a conduit for public entities to donate to efforts. And that passes some legal threshold of not donating money to a private developer. But the WCDA requires a match, a certain match of donation to projects. And this gives you the tool to do that. And the services or land that you donate, let's say the county gets involved, wants to do something in KC, and you want to donate under a restricted deed or a long-term lease or whatever, however you want to do it, you can go through this housing authority, and those funds and that particular piece is only that project. So it wouldn't be like donating and then having somebody decide to spend your money or your assets where willy-nilly. So the other part that's out there and is willing is we have public entities, corporations, and people who are willing to donate to this kind of effort. We don't have our own billionaire like Fremont County and Dubois do. But we have people that can donate, and new businesses come in. You know, a major new business comes in that has housing problems, can donate X amount of money to help assist. What that donation would do is hire a full-time grant writer. And I've talked with other public entities here in town, and they are willing to donate also, but they also suggested we get a full-time grant writer on Housing Authority staff. That resource can be shared with other entities to write specific grants. Its primary focus would be housing grant, but it could be shared. And the other option was, instead of hiring a full-time person under this, is hire a done third party. And apparently there's third party grant writers out there. I don't know. I mean, I tell you quite frankly, I don't know a lot of these details. I'm not qualified to give you specific answers. I can identify that there is this very definite need, and I think this is how we can do it. And what I'm here today for is only to introduce this to you,
but I've been a one-man band, and this digger, the deeper I dig into this, the more difficult it is. And so I'd like to get a buy-in saying, you hear me? Let's move forward. I'm not asking you to do anything today, but, you know, kind of agree that we should keep going forward. And if you have anybody that you can think of that wants to help me by talking to people and getting numbers and doing, trying to flesh out the plan that you see in front of you, that's what I'm asking for today. So, anyway, that's it.
Jerry, are you going to make a similar presentation to the city council tonight, or have you shared this?
No, this was all going to be this morning, but you took the Supreme Court in favor of me.
We did, yes. Sorry about that.
No, I know. That's fine. So I'm going to, yes, I'm going to present it to them tonight. So. And I'm happy to get, you know, this is real difficult venue to work on details, but however you think details could be worked on to more understanding or more whatever, more legal in advice, input, I'm happy to do it. I'm pretty near any time.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Sheriff. Was there additional public comment this morning?
I'm going to do numbers. You guys want that?
Thank you.
Okay. Go ahead, Mark. Good morning. I'm Amy Williams from Buffalo. Last committee meeting, we asked for if you guys would consider a commissioner-sponsored public forum to discuss property taxes. I want to tell you a little bit about why I think it's necessary. I don't know if y'all already have an answer or not, if you're still considering it. This January, we pulled up the carpet of our home and found, just to put in some different flooring, and found a huge crack that had been tiled over in our foundation. So we went to work taking out all the tile, and in that circumstance, we started having a lot of really wonderful laborers in our home to fix the foundation, to gut it, re-pour it, stabilize it, found out things that, you know, that things had shifted. And this kind of work requires you to be there all day long. And we got into really good conversations with these people. And these people started, you know, it definitely carried through to when everybody started getting their property tax bills. And when they got their property tax bills, they'd start talking to us. We just don't have the money. We just don't have it. I don't know. I'm going to have to get a second job. So we started requesting some information just to kind of figure out how these people could get some help. And what we have found is the economic landscape. We'll start with this, the economic landscape of Johnson County. Johnson County is at the bottom end of the spectrum for Wyoming's 23 counties in income, employment, and discretionary spending. We have the fifth lowest, by the way, all this is from census.gov and the Department of Revenue 2022 annual report from Wyoming. We're the fifth lowest median income in the state, only Niobrara, Albany, Bighorn, and Fremont.
Niobrara.
Excuse me?
Niobrara.
Niobrara, that's right. I'm from Fremont County, so that's easier. That's easier than Washakie. Anyway, they have the fifth lowest median income. We are 17% below the Wyoming median and 19% below the U.S. median. Sheridan County, the average median income is $65,000, which is 8% higher, and Campbell County is $91,000, which is 51% higher. We have the seventh lowest labor force participation rate in the state. Only Niobrara, Platte, Weston, Bighorn, Goshen, and Hot Springs have lower, at 59.8%. So what this basically tells you, too, is we have a lot of people on fixed income. These people aren't just not people that work, but we have a lot of older people who are working on a fixed income. We have the seventh lowest retail sales per capita. Bighorn, Crook, Hot Springs, Goshen, Converse, and Sublette are the only ones lower than us. In other words, we have the seventh lowest amount of money to spend on discretionary items in all of Wyoming. But Johnson County is at the high end of the spectrum for the Wyoming's 23 counties in mortgage, rent, and property taxes. We have the fourth highest median rent, which is so wonderful that he was here today to talk about affordable housing. It's a problem. Hence, you can't have workers working, which then leads to the lowest participation rate. It all, you know, economics, it's all a big circle. We have the seventh highest median home value in the state. Only Teton, Sublette, Park, Sheridan, Lincoln, and Crook have higher home values. We have the sixth highest residential property tax burden per person in the state. And we have the eighth highest overall property tax burden per person in the state. So basically, Johnson County residents earn less than other residents in Wyoming, but pay more in taxes, rents, and mortgages. This is why we need a public forum. These people need answers. On the back, I went into very specific numbers. Johnson County is generating more than enough tax revenue, and along with the state of Wyoming, has plenty of operating reserves to run for 4+ years. Basically, the property taxes paid by Johnson, the taxes paid, not just property, but the taxes paid by Johnson County taxpayers in 2022, but by the time you added up the property taxes, the mineral severance taxes, the sales use taxes, the motor vehicle taxes, and the gasoline taxes, was $50.7 million. So $50.7 million in taxes collected from Johnson County taxpayers in 2022, basically if you divide it by the number of people in the county, comes out to $5,800 in taxes per person. And this is a reminder that we are 17% below the Wyoming median. So a Johnson County family of four, excluding federal tax obligations like Social Security, Medicare, income taxes, they had a 38% tax burden placed on them in 2022. Which goes to my friends who live over in the campground that are laying my floor. Why they are literally, they don't have enough money to move. They don't have enough money to pay the taxes. They're delinquent. They might get their cars taken away or their houses foreclosed, their campers foreclosed on. And we broke from England over a 12% tax for the Revolutionary War. Many Johnson County residents have to work two jobs. The first job pays the food, the clothing, the insurance, the car, the mortgage, the gas, the electricity, the water. And the second job is to pay the direct tax obligations, which are sales and property and motor and cigarette and the 24-cent gallon of gas tax and the federal income tax. And then there are the indirect tax obligations. And this has been kind of the most interesting part of this journey. People in the people that have been working at our house have finally come to realize that they actually are affected by property taxes. Even if they don't pay property taxes, their rent went up in the campground because the man who owns the campground land, his property taxes went up. So to recoup his property taxes going up, he raised their rent. They've had their rents raised 3 years in a row in the campground. And what my favorite saying from a pastor is, Americans, we get all we can all we get, and we sit on the lid. Well, that's fine for people in the private sector. But the government should not be getting all they can canning all they get and sitting on the lid. And the reason I mention that is the operating reserves we have in a lot of these counties is crazy when you consider the average Johnson County resident maybe has 3 to 6 months of operating reserves. Johnson County has 4+ years. If you never collected another dime for 4 years, you could run the services. If you look, I won't read them all to you, but if you look at the first and the last one, in Goshen County, Johnson County has $49.4 million in reserves. An average family of four has $22,000 in reserves. Goshen County has $8.1 million in reserves. This is all on their website, so you can check it out. They have their audited statements and their financials on their websites. Goshen County, $8.1 million, and a family of four there has $2,000 in reserve. So much more in line. Park County, $31.4 million in reserves. A family of four there has more in reserves because it's a richer county. So this man who wants to build public housing, I say there's plenty to get started if that's what something we decided to do. So Wyoming, Johnson County and Wyoming, per person has $46,000 of our tax money in reserve. The sources for this are the Johnson County Fiscal Year 22 Audit, the Johnson County Fiscal Year 22 General Ledger, the State of Wyoming Department of Revenue 2022 Annual Report, the Census, and the Fiscal Year Audits for the counties listed on that page. The reason we need to have a forum, a public town hall where people can talk and discuss this and ask y'all questions, is because the State of Wyoming biennium budget increased 20.7% over the last 20 years. And I didn't get a 20% raise. I don't know anyone that did in the private sector. So it's growing faster than the public sector, far outpacing the growth of taxpayer salaries and private sector company revenues. So I'm here today to ask once again, before you do your budgets, and before, I know budgets can be amended, for the sake of all the people working in my house right now, because my tax burden, if you look at where we have moved from, is actually better here. But that doesn't matter. $100 to me is not the same as the $100 to the guy in the campground. And he's not making it. I can tell you that. They're laying floor in my house right now, and he's not making it. He has his kids working for him because he can't afford to have anyone help him. So, again, I ask, before you guys pass the budget next week, we need to have something on the books. We need to have something in the calendar so that these families that are struggling can come meet. Thank you. Any questions? Sorry. Nope.
So, Ms. Williams.
Yes, sure.
First off, to be clear, the county actually passes the budget on the third Monday in July. So
good.
That's actually where
perfect. That's even more time for a session.
What is? And
yeah, that's
Representative
great.
Crago and I have actually worked with Ashley Hartstreet from the Wyoming Taxpayers Association.
Mm-hmm.
They've been in existence since 1937. They were party to many of the major lawsuits that got us into the tax system that we are in today. And on Tuesday night at 6:30 at the Buffalo High School in the auditorium, Representative Crago and I are going to sponsor a town hall. And
Ashley's going to
present a history of Wyoming taxes, and then we'll take questions.
That's fantastic. So the next Tuesday?
Yep.
At 6:30?
There will be an advertisement in the Buffalo Bulletin. I really encourage you to read it.
Fantastic.
And we're also even paying for some online advertising, and that's coming out of Representative Crago and I's pocket, not the taxpayers.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I appreciate it. We will get that out on social media and make sure that it is... It's a I'm doing musicals there. It's a 300-seat auditorium. I will make sure 300 people get there. Thank you. Fantastic.
Is there additional public comment today? Ms. Barlow, welcome.
Good morning, and thank you this morning for taking the time to be able to hear some public comment. Is it, I guess I'd like to just ask the commission, when it comes to the Wyoming Taxpayers Association, that this is a taxpayers association that predominantly represents industry. Is that not true, Mr. Crago?
No, not necessarily. I mean, they're involved with industry, but they also are involved in all the tax legislation that goes through legislature.
Do you know of any membership in the Wyoming Taxpayers Association that is a individual house-owning person?
I don't know what their membership is, Cindy, but what I can tell you is I was working with Ashley for quite some time now to try to get this put together because I thought it was a good opportunity for people who don't understand the actual tax system. You do. You have the benefit of training. Lots of people don't. So she's going to give a short presentation. Then it's going to be a town hall after that. So for the commissioners and myself to answer questions or anybody else that wants to be there. But
fantastic.
So I would just like to add, would you guys consider allowing the assessor to talk about the assessment process so that people can find answers to their assessment? Not an organization. The Wyoming Taxpayers Association is a deceptive name, and you can look at the membership that is there and see for yourself who pays for the membership. And that it's predominantly industry, which is great because we have a lot of industry. As you well know, Representative Crago and Chairman Novotny, that is what they represent. And that we are talking about Wyoming taxpayers that are residential and commercial homeowners who have absolutely very little voice. And it is not this association that presents it. So I'm asking, would you consider allowing your assessor to be there to take questions?
Ms. Barlow, we will absolutely invite the assessor. As you know, the assessor is an independently elected office.
Yep.
The commissioners can't order him anywhere, but certainly we will extend that invitation to Steve.
And so I would also ask the question of the commission, how much training have you guys had to be at County Board of Equalization?
What I can tell you is we had
how many classes?
The Wyoming County Commissioners Association Commissioners annual education, as well as when you are first elected, the Wyoming Department of Revenue and the Board of Equalization come in and give a training.
And so do you feel like that 1 hour, is it a 1 hour class, Mr. Novotny?
No, it's not.
Can you give me a duration of time, please?
You know, I took it 8 years ago, but after having sat through multiple Board of Equalization hearings, including many of them with you, which were quite enlightening, especially some of those ones that stretched for 2 days involving mineral companies, and that's
yes.
why we always make sure that we hire the very best hearing officer for the county commissioners, because remember, the county attorney in those instances represents you, the hearing officer represents the commissioners. At any time during that, we can pause the hearing, go into counsel with him and have them answer any of our questions that we feel we don't have. So
Chairman,
I think we are pretty good in that regard.
Chairman Novotny, as you well know, we don't want to get into the weeds of the details of what took place in those appeals. I am here today to ask you specific questions about your education and your education to be able to be and serve as the County Board of Equalization. And if it was 8 years ago, trust me, things have changed as well as statutes. So predominantly, my first question coming up here was, do you feel like you could get the assessor there? If you can, that would be great, because we need somebody to represent the people and to talk about the assessment process. Will you ask them?
I will gladly. As soon as this meeting is over, I will ask Steve. With the caveat that, of course, if there's any case that is presently pending before the Board of Equalization, that he's probably not going to discuss that at that meeting.
And nor should he. And then also that... Will there be allowed time for public to be able to comment at this town hall meeting?
Well, that is what a town hall is. So you'll be able to ask questions and make comment, and we will do our best to answer all the questions there are. If there's questions we can't, we will make every effort to answer them if we have to go out and get additional information.
And just in closing, when we talk about past appeals, and yes, they were interesting, and especially on the political decisions of a board. So I think it's important that when you guys look at being a County Board of Equalization, that, and I applaud you when you can, but I want you to really consider the true facts and not be political on them, because it does make a budgetary difference to our community, and you need to allow for due process at the county level. And I've never sat in on the county boards afterwards. I just know my experience previously. So I just ask you to be open-minded and to listen to the people and what they actually are showing you for their evidence, if you have any appeals that were not negotiated out of prior to coming into appeal. Thank you.
Absolutely, and it was a great segue that we had Judge Finn here, Justice Finn, because, of course, you'll remember the case where the taxpayer, Johnson County, challenged the legality of even having a Board of Equalization, and that was upheld when Judge Finn, who's now Justice Finn, was in Sheridan County. So,
and the County Board of Equalization process is determined within our Constitution, so I'm not here to question that process at all. That is something that should be given to the people to be able to have the right to speak up about their property taxes. So please consider having a true town hall meeting where the people are represented. Thank you.
Please come up. Introduce yourself for the record so the clerk can take your name and your comments.
Good morning. My name is Jan Loftus, and I thank you for taking time, commissioners. My request is that when you're working on the budget, that you consider reducing the mill level. And my rationale is this. The cause of these property tax increases is not yours or the legislature's or anybody's. It was the disease, primarily COVID, that has caused this big leap. However, the legislature has failed to act. For 3 years now, the Joint Revenue Committee has been assigned the interim to work on this problem and have done nothing that has helped all. There has been a small bill passed to help a few, but we have equal justice for all in the United States, not a few. So again, this year I expect and hope that I'm wrong, and will be happy to say I was wrong, that they will do nothing. That is my expectation for the majority of us. And again, should they pick and choose, and not in the United States of America, should pick and choose who gets some relief and nobody else. There were opportunities, there were at least three good bills to help all people. They were killed. And in the past, the same thing. There were bills brought to cap property taxes, killed and killed. Now, property tax values, or property values, excuse me, between 2019 and 2022 were up 36%. The legislature increased savings this year with that money, and with ARPA, whatever monies it was, went into permanent savings. That was excellent. But at the same time, they increased spending, increased positions and increased spending, so that the income off of the increased savings will not cover by tens of millions what was increased in spending. So we're going to be expecting more taxes out of legislature, not less. We the people have had to tighten our belts. The average household has had to endure $400 to $700 a month increased expenses due to inflation. We need the county to do what the legislature refuses to do. Until we get a group down there that, pardon me, is liberty-loving, we can't expect anything different this year either, this next year. our county has had valuation increases of 46.34% between 21 and 2022. So our county has increased income, as we've seen also. Now, I would like to address different peoples. We've heard about the low-income peoples. We also have older people who have, where I count myself, where people have saved for their retirements and see that that is being eaten up. But even a larger concern than myself and people like me who have tried to save so that we won't be a burden on others is the young people. We almost all would say we would desire our young people to stay. But when we pass bills such as was passed this year that will only benefit a very few people, and I can't see how young people will be interesting to see who does get that refund. But I don't see how young people will be eligible, or very many people. So if we want our young people, we need to be fair across the board. And you have the power to do that by reducing the mills, what they won't do. And that is my request, once again, is as you work your budget and you see that you have, as we saw by a previous presenter, 4 years of savings, let's give a little bit of a break to these people that are enduring when they go to the grocery store and pay nearly $9 for a box of cereal to try to raise their families. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there additional public comment?
Good morning. Is the mic on? I can't hear so well in the back. I was wondering, is this mic working? I'll speak up.
Could you please, sir, introduce yourself for the clerk so she can have your name and your record?
Greg Loftus. I've over at Lake De Smet. Big-time county taxpayer. Good morning. I came here today to advocate for less spending. I've never been to a county commissioner board meeting in my life. I've never felt compelled to go to that kind of meeting. But I'm here today again to advocate for less spending. Why in the world would a citizen want any government agency to spend less money? Look at all the returns. Look at all the benefits that come from the country, and the states, and the counties with all of that spending, all that taxation. Look at all the benefits we get from that. However, is there a limit to the spending? Is there ever a limit to the spending? Not so far. Look at our national debt. Our national debt is, what is it, $32-33 trillion? When Bush number two took over, I think the debt at that time was like $8 trillion. So it's just massive spending at the government, at the federal government level, the state government level, and the county government level. It just keeps going up and up and up, and what they can't get in taxes, they borrow. The problem is us taxpayers, we're out of money. We're just flat out of money. Are we better off than we were 2 years ago? Hardly. COVID hit us dearly. Inflation took a big bite out of our spending power. My federal taxes, even with the wonderful Trump tax cuts, he cut the taxes tremendously. Even with those cuts, my federal taxes were tough. They were back-breaking. My county, my Johnson County property taxes were also back-breaking last year. and I just got my next tax notice. They're continuing. They're going to be even worse. They're backbreaking. Tax, tax, tax. Per my recent Johnson notice again, they're going to go up. As a famous politician would say, "Come on, man! Come on, man!" So seriously, I'm asking the county commissioners. I'm asking the different agencies around the county, around the state and the feds. I want them to not necessarily cut anything, but it just hold it right where it's at. We listened to a proposition a minute ago about a housing authority. If that thing is approved and it costs money, then would the county commissioner say, okay, well, we're going to add this wonderful county authority, this wonderful benefit, and it's going to cost this much. But hey, we want to listen to what Greg said at our county commissioner office, tax, tax, tax. Yeah, we're going to approve that, but then we're going to take something away someplace else. We're not going to just keep raising those taxes or keep borrowing the money. I would like to convince you to return a bit of prosperity and a bit of freedom to us county taxpayers. Whatever you can do with the mill levy when it comes up, and we're going to have discussions, you mentioned town hall meetings and so on, but when that meeting finally comes up, I want that mill levy to be the same as it was last year or lower. I don't want it increased. Keep that in mind. Greg Loftus, big-time Johnson County taxpayer, does not want the mill levy increased. So when it comes time to give your little approval on that, keep these thoughts in mind. So again, the main reason I'm here is usually at any of these board meetings, you talk about, well, this great idea, that great idea, but it's going to cost money. I'm here to say, let's not cost money. Let's save money, spend less money. Thanks for your wonderful attention to my valuable words.
Is there additional public comment? Public comment?
Oh. One very quick thing. Just wanted, as a precinct committee chairman, I just wanted to let the public know that at 8:30 a.m. on Saturday, the Joint Revenue Committee is meeting of the legislature at Sheridan College in the THORNE Ryder Campus Center, Room 8. And I believe that's going to be over 2 days, Saturday and Monday, I believe. Monday and Tuesday. So just wanted to let you guys know that and put that in the record. Because they'll want to, and you can sign up on YOLED for Zoom testimony. Yeah, YOLED.com for Zoom meetings. Zoom comment, testifying.
Is there any additional public comment? Public comment? Public comment. Then I'll go ahead and close public comment. Commissioners, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Second. Motion to second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Hey, Jerry. Hey, Jerry.